The Christian Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, chapter 10. How Satan's policy to start some worldly business, to be dispatched when the Christian's hour of prayer comes, may be repelled. Another method Satan hath to make the Christian put off the duty of prayer, as unseasonable, is some worldly business that is to be dispatched, and therefore suggests some thoughts as these. I have no leisure now to pray. This business is to be done, and that necessary occasion calls for my attendance. I will therefore adjourn till I can come with more freedom and leisure. Now, to arm thee against their pretenses, I lay down a few directions. First, take heed of overcharging thyself with worldly business, which is done when thou grappest more thereof than will consist with this Christian calling. God allows thee to give to the world that which is the world's, but he will not suffer thee to pay the world that which is due to him. Thy particular calling is intended by God to be a help to thy general. It will therefore be thy sin to make an incumbent that which is given as an advantage, and that which itself a sin cannot be a plea for the negligence of a duty. The servant would not mend the matter, who excuses his not doing a business his master commanded, by telling him he had drunk too much when he should have gone about it. Nor will thy apology for passing thy time of prayer be better, who saith thou hast so much to do in the world that thou couldst not find time to pray. Secondly, labor to time thy seasons for prayer with discretion in the things of the world. If we have two businesses to dispatch on the same day, we contrive, if possible, that they may not interfere, and certainly a holy providence to forecast how we may reconcile daily the demands of our closets and shops, our devotions and worldly employments by laying out each its portions of time, would ordinarily prevent much confusion in our walking. The prophet speaks of the liberal man's devising liberal things. He could not easily want time to pray if our hearts would but persuade our heads to devise and study how our other affairs might be disposed of without prejudice to our devotions. That cloth which a bungler thinks too little for a garment, a good workman can make one of it and leave some for another use also. Oh, there is a great deal of art in cutting out time with little loss. Thirdly, be sure thou keepest a right notion of prayer in thy thoughts. Some look upon every minute of time spent in the closet as lost in the shop, and no wonder such are easily kept from prayer upon other pretended business, who think it a prejudice to other affairs. But I hope thou art better taught. Does the husbandman mow thee less for whittling the sickle? Does a great grace before men spoil the dinner? No, nor does the prayer hinder the Christian either in his employments or enjoyments, but expedes the one and sanctifies the other. All agree that into dispatch business nothing conduces more than to begin at the right end of it, and certainly the right end of any business is to begin with God and engage him to help us. Acknowledge God in all thy ways, and lean not to thy own understanding, etc. Fourthly, the more straits and difficulties thou conquerest to keep thy communion with God, the more kindly it is taken of God. No friend is more welcome to us than he who breaks through many occasions to give us a visit. There is little cost and little love in an idle man's visit. Mary was Christ's favorite, who trod the world under her feet that she might sit at his. And the Shemites, who in their zeal came out of their harvest field, where they were reaping to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. 1 Samuel 6:13-18. Fifthly, be faithful and impartial in considering the importance and necessity of that business, which is propounded as an apology for not performing this duty at thy usual season. It cannot be denied, but such a necessary occasion may fall out, for which the Christian may without sin abjure the solemn performance of his devotions to another more fit time. Who doubts that a Christian may, when he rises, go to quench his neighbor's house on fire, though by this he be kept out of his closet, and detained from offering to God a solemn sacrifice of praise and prayer he was wont. Yea, though occasion be not so extraordinary, if it be, first, about that which is lawful in itself, secondly, of importance, thirdly, necessarily then to be dispatched, and fourthly, if it surprises us and we do not bring it upon ourselves by our own fault, the duty of prayer may, without sin, be adjured for a fitter time. But let us take heed of stamping a pretended necessity on things and actions only to gratify our lazy hearts with a handsome excuse whereby we may both save the pains of performing a duty and also escape a chiding from our conscience for the non-performancy of it. Of all fools, he is the worst who puts a cheat on himself and especially on his soul. Such a one must expect that the less his conscience barks at present, the more it will bite when it shall be unmuzzled. Again, if the occasion be important and necessary, whereby thou art called off from the solemn performance of this duty at present, then, first, lift up thy heart in an ejaculatory prayer to God to guide and guard thee. This is a short dagger thou art to use for thy defense against temptation, when thou hast no time to draw the long sword of solemn prayer. Thus thou mayest pray in any place, company, or employment. A short parenthesis interrupts not the sense of a discourse, but gives a legacy to it, and a short ejaculatory to heaven will not interrupt any business thou art about, but benefit it much. Secondly, be careful to recover this loss which thy worldly business hath put thee into in thy communion with God, but more abounding in thy duty the next opportunity. The tradesman who is kept from his dinner on the market day goes sooner to his supper and eats the freer meal at midnight. Oh, that we were as wise for our souls, which we are prevented at one time to recover with advantage at another, by a doubled enlargement of our hearts and our prayers and meditations. End of chapter 10.